Welcome to the Haney Biz Project with Mark Haney. Mark is a serial investorpreneur and the chief dreaming officer of the Haney Biz Companies. He's working tirelessly to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution and share the inspiring stories of the region's most influential leaders. And now, here's Mark Haney.
All right. This is the Haney Biz Project, and we are on a mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution right here in our hometown of Sacramento. And you know, I have this fascination that if enough of Sacramento's more seasoned entrepreneurs help spark enough of the up-and-coming entrepreneurs that Sacramento will catch fire. And that's what we're all about, entrepreneurs helping entrepreneurs, one entrepreneur at a time, one conversation at a time. And today I am joined by my good buddy, Jack Crawford, Impact Venture Capital. And Jack, I got to ask you today, are you hanging or are you banging today?
I'm banging today. It's good to be with you.
I love it. Banging is when we are at our very best, at our very best opportunity. And as entrepreneurs, we're not always at our very best. And, you know, but we're just talking about that before the show, is how do we get ourselves at our very best? You like to work out. You like to do long distance running. You like to ride bikes. What are you doing these days to be at your very best, Jack?
I gotta find my next big race.
Okay.
I've done some long distance triathlons and other things. I feel like when your body's in shape, your brain works a little bit better.
Yeah.
I bring a little bit more focus. You know, we were talking a little bit about going to the gym or hitting the bike and getting a little bit of sort of meditation out there.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just sort of zero in on and focus on what really matters. And
mm-hmm.
So you're out there working out, taking time away from building your business. But sometimes that perfect idea comes to mind. You solve a problem out there. So it's taking a little bit of time away from building the company can
yes.
enhance your sort of focus on what really matters.
And for a guy like me, I have to compartmentalize, because when I try to multitask, everything gets fouled up. My workout is bad. My work is bad. My play is not so good. So I compartmentalize with the help of Alexis and my team here. I am able to do that. But you know, today we want to talk about the life cycle of an entrepreneur. And you're filling in for Marcus here. My main man is on assignment in Southern California. But there's nobody better than you to talk about entrepreneurship here in Sacramento as a venture capitalist at Impact Ventures. You're not only an entrepreneur yourself, but you're helping so many entrepreneurs. And I wanted to talk about the life cycle of an entrepreneur. You know, so often we start with an idea and then it sort of turns into a venture, and then hopefully in the end it turns into a real success story. Talk to us about what it's like at the beginning. Actually, let's start by giving us a little more of your background. How would we describe Impact in the background of Jack Crawford?
Sure. So Impact Venture Capital is an early stage venture capital firm. We're investing in technology companies. We have a headquartered office in Silicon Valley, and then we set up an office in a tower in downtown Sacramento where we have an investment office and an innovation center. So we're kind of operating within the technology triangle of San Francisco, San Jose, and Sacramento. We run a series of innovation programs focused on students and startups where we mentor them and try and take ideas and turn them into enterprise, new companies. So it's supporting, although we're not laser focused on Sacramento with all of our efforts, we'll invest across the country and around the world. We are looking at what's happening here in Sacramento, and obviously as a homegrown Sacramentan, I'm really excited about the maturation of the innovation economy here and how ideas are being turned into technologies and technologies into companies. And so we're going to start investing more actively in this region. But to date, we've made 4 investments. The smallest has been $500,000 and the largest has been $2.5 million. I'm excited to have John Koss from Pondera on today.
You bet. John is great.
One of our new portfolio companies. So I'd love to talk a little bit about sort of the life cycle of startups and some of the things that I see happening here in Sacramento.
Okay, yeah. So when I see a lot of, you get pitched, how many ideas come to you per year?
A little more than 1,000 investment opportunities each year.
1,000, and a lot of people need some help. And then you see them afterwards, and you sort of watch their progression. And
yeah.
That progression sometimes develops into a pattern that is kind of common. What do we see as a typical pattern in the life cycle of an entrepreneur?
Yeah, I see groups of entrepreneurs in the ignite stage. Some in what I would consider the accelerate stage, and some in the capitalize stage. So let me just briefly say what I mean by this. When I think of sort of the ignite stage of entrepreneurship, that's founders getting together, right? Founders connecting.
Okay.
That brilliant idea comes up, and two people are talking. They say, wait a minute, we should start a company around this, right? And they start doing a little bit of research. That's sort of the ignite stage, the launch stage, if you will.
That's a great time, isn't it?
Energy is high,
yeah.
Right? There's the founders seem to be developing
unbridled enthusiasm, unbridled optimism.
Encouraging.
nothing can go wrong.
Encouraging each other to take a risk, yeah. Right? You know, what? How should we brand it? You know, which customer should we? Who do you know? Who do I know? You know,
yes.
How do we rally resources? A lot of energy. The next stage is sort of the accelerate stage. Okay, now you've figured out the business and market that you want to sort of build and the market that you want to go after. The accelerate stage is where you start looking for mentors. You're thinking about board members. You're kind of dialing in your business model. Maybe you're going through some business model mapping exercises to really understand your value proposition and who the customer segments you're going to focus on. You know, maybe some financial projections early on, right? That's that next stage, that accelerate stage.
Okay.
And then the last stage in my mind is sort of capitalize. Okay, now we need to bring in additional resources. We need to figure out how to scale this thing up. We've maybe got a proof of concept with a couple of customers, but we need outside resources to really scale this thing up. And so it's sort of, in my mind, it's sort of ignite to get you to accelerate, to get you to sort of capitalize. And that's, if you're building a successful business, as you've done, Mark, I mean, then you start looking for exit ramps. You know, are we going public on NASDAQ?
Yes.
Are we getting acquired? Or are we just going to have a cash machine here that generates profits?
And I love each of the three stages, but each of the three sort of comes with its own set of opportunity and challenge. The beginning and the idea and getting the early decisions, who you're going to partner with, are you going to be a solopreneur? How are you going to approach this thing? At the beginning, so many decisions. But then what I see in what you call the accelerate stage, so often that can be the grueling grind where you think that you have a great idea at the beginning, and then somewhere along the way, you figure out that that idea needs to change. Every business I've ever started, and I've started a number of them, the business plan ends up changing. It ends up morphing into something different. And that change, it's very difficult sometimes to discover what that change needs to be. And so what I see happen with a lot of guys, a lot of entrepreneurs, is they sort of get stuck trying to figure out what they're going to be, and they don't test hard enough or fast enough. And you know, they say 9 out of 10 of these startups go out of business in the first 5 years. I don't think it has to be that way. If we test a little bit harder, test a little bit faster, the discoveries will come sooner. Do you have thoughts on that?
I think that makes a lot of sense. I mean, I think that oftentimes you find these businesses, the initial idea was halfway good, you know, and sort of there's a bunch of problems with, there's flaws either with the go-to-market strategy or the depth of the team in any one area. So they have to pivot. Right?
You know, you bet.
And so to your point, persistence and a little bit of luck usually wins the day. This the old adage, you must be present to win. You know, you just sort of stick around and keep nudging your business forward, and you find a pathway. Even in the venture capital industry, candidly, we were investing in a lot of seed stage companies that took a long time to get to exit, right? And so we're trying to figure out, okay, well, what can we do in the interim while we're waiting for these companies to get to an exit, to get acquired or go public? Well, let's start a series of innovation programs. So we're preparing for the next wave of investments. If you have a venture firm that's overly focused on Sacramento, we found it was difficult to attract additional capital and additional investors. So we looked at, all right, let's broaden to the Silicon Valley, and let's look at maybe a little bit broader geographic footprint. Yeah. So I think even in the venture industry, there's things to learn about sort of persistence and pivoting and enhancing the strategy.
Well, I love what you've done. You become the voice of Sacramento. I'm the guy with a microphone most of the time, but you have taught me a tremendous amount around entrepreneurship and the entrepreneurial ecosystem here in the Sacramento region. We're going to talk about that a little bit later in the show toward the end. But I mean, one of the things that I'll touch on before we go to break is, for me, when I've gotten down these paths of these startups and looking for that differentiation, that maybe that advantage, that something special, maybe it's the secret sauce, so that eventually I can pour some gasoline on the fire and make it go. But finding those, finding that something special was tough. And it reminds me of this show. In fact, one of the reasons I have this show is Tom Kanders, my next door neighbor. He, in fact, introduced me to you. If it wasn't for Tom and you and the inspiration to help other entrepreneurs that I got from you guys, I mean, I would not even have this show, but it hasn't been the smoothest at all times. And I've been trying to figure out our differentiation for the show. And I mean, this reminds, so 2 years ago, quick story, 2 years ago, I was trying to figure, I'm like, I'm going to fail hard. I'm going to fail often to figure out my differentiation. You know, what is the customer like, right? What does the listener want to hear? And it reminds me of the story of 2 years ago today, it was my wife's 50th birthday. And you probably did not hear this show, but Do you know what I did on that day?
I'm not sure.
I sang to my wife. I decided, you know what? I am going to go out on the limb, go so far. I am the worst singer you have ever met in your life. I mean, and I know that about myself, but you know what? I love my wife. Her birthday is coming up, and I'm not going to sing today, but it reminds me, yeah, I got clapping in the background there. I'm not going to sing, but it reminds me that when we're trying to figure out, you know, I'll do anything, even go to the vulnerable edges of my being to try to create something different, something unique, try to humanize a radio show. I think this radio show is different. We're still trying to figure it out, but I want to take a second to thank my wife for the inspiration and also thank you as well and give my wife a little happy birthday.
Let me say one thing
too.
About this program. One thing about you, I think this program is actually reshaping the entrepreneurial culture in Sacramento. You're explaining sort of the idea of accepting risk and trying new things and making bold moves. And so I really appreciate that about the show. And let me say one thing about you personally, Mark. One thing I know is I think you're one of the hardest working guys in Sacramento, but you're also on vacation like a ton of times. So I think you're
I'm
working.
That's my hanging, right? Where there's either hanging, you got to be on vacation, relaxing, or at your very best, at your very bottom.
You're 100% working and 100% on vacation, and so I like that about you.
I appreciate that. Well, you know, like we say typically on this show, the best way to learn is get yourself in the game. The second best way to learn is through the stories of real-world entrepreneurs like Jack Crawford and like the guest that's coming up today in the show, Mr. John Koss, Pondera Solutions. He is coming up in a second. He's built one of the most innovative companies in Sacramento. He's the founder. He's the CEO of a company that's catching bad guys, right? He's helping detect fraud, and he's using machine learning to help do that. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, brought to you courtesy of Five Star Bank. This is the Haney Biz Project.
Now, back to the Haney Biz Project with host Mark Haney.
Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of Sun System Technology. I'm Mark Haney, and we have Jack Crawford here with Impact Venture Capital, and we've brought along the founder and CEO of Pondera Solutions, Mr. John Koss, is in the house. So this is going to be rapid fire between Mr. Crawford and myself. We're going to pepper you a little bit, but before we get into that, can you just give us an overview of what Pondera is, and maybe a little bit of your background as well?
Sure, be happy to. So Pondera was founded in 2011 with the idea that we were going to leverage the power of cloud computing, which is massive, and advanced computer algorithms to help detect and prevent fraud, waste, and abuse in large government programs.
Beautiful.
Yeah, so the way it works, basically, just real quick, is government will hire us. They will provide us regular data feeds of transactions, whether it be Medicaid, unemployment insurance, what used to be called food stamps, now is called SNAP. And then we combine that with other data sources to check for, people that shouldn't be receiving data, maybe stolen identities, fictitious businesses. And then we run all the transactions through a set of prediction algorithms to try to find individual cases of fraud, as well as trends, patterns, clusters, suspicious activity that might, indicate fraud.
So using machine learning or big data, and then you guys find a way to make it smart data and help catch the bad guys.
Yeah, one of the things we do that's a little bit different than just, say, a traditional tech company is we use machine learning, we use prediction algorithms, but we combine that with the context of actual experts in fraud. So we actually hire more than half of our company directly out of government. We have former FBI agents, law enforcement agents, data mining experts from government programs, and they bring the context to that big data. So rather than just, throwing a number out and saying this has a 42.735% chance of being fraudulent, we'll say this looks very likely to be fraud from the systems, and here's why, which is the context that our experts bring.
Well, you've identified yourself as a product guy, but I'd like to hear the history of how you got into this line of work and what really prompted the launch of Pondera Solutions.
Yeah, I think you went from, Mark, to your point, you went from idea to product to partnership with Google to revenues and cash flow positive faster than most entrepreneurs that I know. It was like lightning fast. And so a little bit of detail on sort of what were you thinking in those early stages and sort of how did you accelerate the growth through those early days so quickly?
Sure. Let me first say it didn't seem like it was lightning fast. And then second, let me say, I'm a little uncomfortable having Jack here because he knew me when I was, you know, a couple of guys and no revenue. So I got to be, you know, really upfront here. Yeah, so I'd been doing government technology for, you know, 25 years. And I'm an old analytics person, used to build data warehouses and things like that. And I'm also a responsible government person. I love my country, believe in responsible government. And this problem of fraud, waste, and abuse is not new, but it's always really bothered me. And then in 2011, I had just sold a company, and I was actually at Google, and they were looking to hire me to do some consulting work for them. And they brought in some of their experts on some of their cloud computing and their analytics, and I was blown away by some of the new technologies that came out. And being as smart as I am, I said, wow, this cloud thing doesn't look like it's going to be a fad. So I actually, within 2 weeks of that, decided to start the company because I saw the opportunity to apply some new technologies to a problem that had always bothered me, and it was a really big problem. And that was 2011. We really sort of spent the rest of 2011 and 2012 building a product, testing it, and things like that. Went to market in 2013, and you know, we've had some pretty good success since then.
Well, you talked about it maybe feeling a little bit slow, and we talked about that at the beginning of the show, is sometimes after you get started, getting that traction where you really feel like you've nailed your niche, if you will, and now you're ready to grow. How long did it take for you to figure that out? I guess it took a couple of years, it sounds like, but walk us through maybe the some of the challenges that you faced.
Oh, we had none. You know, Jack was talking about that ignite phase.
Yeah,
I wanted to ignite my business plan after about 8 months. It was interesting because my original premise was that I could now rent analytics and computer processing in this massive scale and apply this computing power, you know, like no time in history to these problems. So the mistake that I made was when we actually started working with some government data sets and we had some beta customers, I took a very traditional approach to finding fraud and then just applying a whole bunch more computing power to it. And what we found out was that we were a little bit more effective than companies that were doing it today. You know, I'll just make up the number, but it was probably accurate, about 5%, 10%
okay.
better. But what government is going to, you know, contract with a couple of folks in Sacramento over a big company, you know, IBM,
right,
and companies like that, if we're 5 or 10% better. So that's when I was in my ignite phase, where I'm like, you know, this is not, you know, going to make it the way we wanted to. So we really just brought in some very smart people. I have this thing called a bucket theory where I take an expert in fraud, I take an expert in analytics, I take an expert in predictive modeling, and I throw them into a bucket and tell them, here's the problem, now you guys go solve it.
Wow.
And they came up with some really innovative approaches to it. We took about 6 months, sort of changed the way we were looking at the technology, and when we came back, the results were no longer 10% better.
Nice.
They were
dramatic. Can you talk a little bit about kind of, you know, using the vocabulary of the day, sort of going through the accelerate phase, and then getting capitalized and some of the decisions? I mean, you were really looking at the business model. Who are the key people? You built an incredible team. I mean, one of your most significant accomplishments is the team that you put together. You know, you got some outside perspective. I was impressed that you applied and were accepted into the accelerator program that we run because you'd already been involved in successful businesses. And so the humility that it took to sort of step forward and say,
you went all the way down to Jack Crawford's level to watch this. That's kind of shocking, John. Tell us what was wrong?
Jack talks about humility. I got a lot of reasons for humility. Let's just start there. Yeah. No, you know, it was really interesting because when we started, and Jack, when I started with you, I'd had no experience with outside capital at all. And I thought that an idea this big might require some outside capital. And I had started and sold a few businesses before, but they were more private transactions. And the interesting thing was that when I started and we were pitching the company, a lot of the potential investors said, you know what, your TAM, your total addressable market's too big.
Okay.
What makes you think you can compete with these really big companies that are going to go after these? So, you know, to put it in perspective, there's about $2.1 trillion of federal subsidies that are distributed every year, and there's over $200 billion of that every year is fraudulent. So these are very, very large systems, large problems that we're tackling. So, you know, after going through the accelerator, which was terrific for me because it really helped us hone our pitch and, you know, make sure people understood what the value proposition was, we decided to just go it direct and not take any funding at all. And as we started to add customers, which is our sort of old-fashioned way of getting funding,
yes,
we had started to attract some interest, but it was always sort of lagging interest. They would say, well, you know, we're interested in investing in you now to help accelerate growth. And I would say, but we did that ourselves 3 months ago with another customer. So, you know, we want to look forward and forward.
And I had angel investors knocking on my door saying, hey, what do I have to do to invest in John Cross's
right.
company?
But John, you were saying, I don't want angel investors yet.
You know, we did early. They okay. were less interested in us because, you know, they were afraid of the size of the TAM. They didn't think, you know, a few folks in Sacramento could really make an impact. Then once we had some success, they came back in. But at that point, we were really looking for someone that could help us accelerate even faster than angels,
gotcha.
Frankly.
That's the beauty of entrepreneurship, right? You took these guys and threw them into the bucket and said, figure out the problem. I love that. And I've seen, and Jack, I don't know if you've seen this, but in larger companies, sometimes they can't sequester themselves in that way to go solve some of these big problems to make a differentiated product that's 10 times better or 20 times better.
Yep.
It's hard. It's incremental improvements can happen in these large organizations, but they can't really change the game like you're doing at Pondera Solutions. We're going to be back after the break. We're going to have a little more with John, a little more with Jack. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com. Courtesy of Audie Rockland. This is the Haney Biz Project.
Welcome back to Mark Haney, igniting the entrepreneurial revolution with the Haney Biz
Welcome
Project.
Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of Hub International. I'm Mark Haney, and I am rejoined by my co-host, Jack Crawford, and of course, John Koss, telling us about his business. And you referenced during the break that there was one time, or maybe there were a few times, when your venture, it almost got taken out back and shot with a gun. Obviously, you're being metaphoric, but tell us a little more about that, and then we'll get into how you really built the thing.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. So all of our customers today are government, and anybody that knows anything about government has heard lots of stories about long procurement cycles and, you know, the frustration of dealing with them. Right. So when we decided to go into this business, we knew it was going to take a while to get our first customer. And the other thing that governments tend to do in terms of purchasing is it's a little bit of a herd mentality. Nobody wants to go first.
Okay.
So, you know, you have to have quals. You have to have done work with government agencies before. Even then, it could take a year or 2 years to get through a procurement cycle. And then, you know, you build all that into your business plan, and then nothing goes faster. It always goes a little bit longer.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, building a house or anything else. So there were times when we were certainly stretched. I'm not going to tell you how much money was left in my personal bank account, but it wasn't a lot.
Okay.
And, you know, those are things that you spent a lot of your life building, and then you're looking at retirement accounts and never the kids' college mm-hmm. savings accounts, but
yeah.
You know, you start thinking, how far am I going to take this? I know it's a good idea, but there's so many impediments in your way. And I think that's true for any business, maybe
well,
even more
yeah,
so for
yeah, but
ours.
I mean, you're a family man. You have a wife and your son, right?
And daughter.
And a daughter. And, you know, what kind of toll does that take on life, right? And you had a bad knee at one point in there.
I had a bad knee, yeah, which my friends hate to hear me complain about, but this is a great platform to do it.
He talks about it a lot.
I can imagine.
That's my excuse for not running with Jack usually. But yeah, I mean, sort of the nice thing I think about being an entrepreneur is you're always working and you can always kind of be not working. And there, you know, I tried to see all of my kids' sporting events and dance events and things like that. Not their dances. I'll
yeah.
let them go to those by themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
But my daughter did some dancing. You have the opportunity to do that, but then you make up for it by working until 11 o'clock or midnight at night. And, you know, that went on for a long time. So a lot of people now that are seeing some of the success we have are saying, wow, you're like an overnight success. And, you know, I kind of remind them that we're more of a 5-year overnight success.
Yeah.
And a lot goes into it. But, you know, we have a mission that is really important to us. And, you know, it's not just saving government's money, but it's you know, putting bad people that are doing bad things with money that they've obtained illegally through these programs. It's helping to, you know, get them off the streets, get them away from kids, elderly, vulnerable populations. So for me, all that time that we put into it was worth it. And for everybody at Pondera, I think that shares in that mission, it's pretty neat.
That significant amount of capital that you put into the company. I mean, what you did yeah. was you took a big risk.
Yeah.
And now on the back end, you effectively are the beneficiary because you brought in a sizable, an 8-digit round of financing, and you have a, you know, massive amount of ownership in the company. Can you just talk for the entrepreneurs out there that are thinking about taking in some outside capital? Can you talk a little bit about sort of the decision-making process as you looked at the business, where it was at, how much you'd put into it, you know, gutting it out and getting it to cash flow positive? Really, that was a victory in itself. And then the decision to bring in outside capital.
The first part I'd say is it's great that I was smart enough that I couldn't come up with a good enough pitch to get capital early, because I would have given.
Yeah. You would have been diluted a little.
I would have been
late
early
yeah.
and, you know, not as good a rate. So that was really smart of me. But you know, when it came time, we actually weren't looking for capital. We were, you know, growing organically well. But what happens is when you start to do some larger size deals, so for example, we want a deal that is paying us $6 million a year annually in subscription, that wow. starts to get the attention of some larger competitors. Mm-hmm. And my thought was, you know, we kind of enter into that, we sort of grow fast, or we're just a, you know, sort of a family business for the rest of time, or, you know, we start to decline. So, you know, it was very important for me when we decided to finally start taking some calls and entertaining some outside capital that it wasn't just capital, but it was the right kind of partner that could help us grow, bringing in operational resources, bringing us talent, adding to my management team, things like that. And we spent, almost a year talking to strategics that were interested in acquiring the whole business, private equity companies, East Coast, West Coast, small, medium, large. I mean, we really went very wide, and I think we learned a lot in the process, and I'm just delighted that we ended up with Cerent and Impact. I think it's just the perfect fit for us.
So. Mark, one thing you might not know is John was able to successfully recruit capital from a private equity firm who's looking, who effectively put tens of millions of dollars into his company, and they don't co-invest with other investors. They don't co-invest with angels. They don't co-invest with other VCs. They don't co-invest with other corporates. What John did is when he signed the term sheet with this outside private equity group is he said, you know, there's this group that's been supporting me historically, this Impact Venture Capital firm and this guy, Jack Crawford. I want them in the investment. So a firm wow. that did not co-invest with anybody else, that didn't allow anybody, they wanted the whole round themselves. John went to bat for us. And I'm really appreciative of that for you, John. So I just want to publicly recognize, you know, the partnership that we had informally with you going through the accelerator program that has now turned into something I'm really excited about. And that's, Pondera being a portfolio company and you being, in effect, a formal partner now because we both own ownership in the same company. So it's exciting.
And I'm an investor into Impact, so I feel a sense of appreciation and ownership as well. But let me ask you, John.
Well, you know you guys ought to be out making sales for me right now, so come on.
I love it. But what would you say to a guy like Jack Crawford? What would you say to him, a guy that was there in the beginning, kind of mentored you through the ropes in the early stages, and I know that you felt some appreciation and some respect, and that's why you brought him in to co-invest along Cerent.
Yeah.
What would you say to Jack?
Yeah, I mean, and Jack, you know, he reminds me of the when we first met, I was always asking him, what's in this for you, Jack? What's your angle? And, you know, now I say, you know, it's kind of reverse, what's in it for me and why is it important that we have, you know, Impact with us? And there's a lot of reasons. One is, you know, I love what Jack's doing here in Sacramento. And I live here in Sacramento. I chose to raise my family in Sacramento. I think it's a great place to raise a family, to start a business, all these things. You know, selfishly, I'd like to see Sacramento do well as well because it brings more talent. And the more talent we have, we're hiring and we're in, you know, growth mode when that means hiring mode right now. So, you know, the better we look as a area for businesses, the better it is for us. But, you know, the other thing that I think was important for Jack and me and our relationship was, you know, I went through the accelerator back in 2012. That was 5 years ago. And in that time, I bounced ideas off of Jack, especially around funding. Maybe it was a key management hire and things like that. He wasn't charging me money to ask him questions. It was just, you know, it was a friendship. It was supporting a business. And, you know, to me, those things should be repaid. I don't consider it repaying him by having him invest in our business. I consider it repaying him by having that investment grow. And, you know, that's really my goal over the next few years is the people that put trust in us, whether it's Cerent, whether it's Impact, whether it's my employees, that every one of them left something great to come to Pondera. My goal is to make sure that we all grow together.
Mark, there's a lot of interesting entrepreneurs that are working on government technology companies in the Sacramento area. Some of them are providing services to government, and some of them are coming up with product ideas. I think John may be leading the way to a flurry of GovTech companies that are launched yeah. right here in Sacramento because we've got so many customers that are, you know, at the state of California level. So it's exciting to see him sort of trailblaze in this industry sector.
You bet. John, I appreciate you coming on the show today. Jack's going to stick around, but this is a story of entrepreneurs helping entrepreneurs. Obviously, you guys have been helping one another, and I know now you're reaching out and continuing to help the next guy in line right here in GovTech in Sacramento. When we return, I will be joined by Ethan Conrad to talk about his generous offer in commercial real estate. This opportunity just might be a launching pad for your business growth. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, courtesy of the Entrepreneurs Organization of Sacramento and law firm Greenberg Traurig. This is the Haney Biz Project.
And now back to the Haney Biz Project with investorpreneur Mark Haney.
Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of accounting firm Clifton Larson Allen. I'm Mark Haney, and today we have a special guest. Mr. Ethan Conrad is in the house. Ethan, first of all, some of the people that don't know you, give us a little overview of what the Ethan Conrad business is all about.
I'm basically a commercial real estate, a value-added buyer and landlord. So I own office, industrial, retail buildings, and basically have grown the company quite a bit over the last few years.
Now, you own over 6 million square feet of real estate right here in the region. And, you know, I was trying to calculate that out. That's like, 150 football fields worth of place to put our businesses. Okay, you got this contest, and you've been generous enough to donate $100,000 worth of free rent to businesses and entrepreneurs that want to grow their company. What is the contest all about, and what inspired it?
You know, I think it was really an idea to basically promote business in Sacramento and promote businesses that are startup or newer, younger businesses, right? And I get a hit up all the time of like, well, do you want to donate to this or donate to that? And that's somewhat meaningful, you know, but I wanted something that was kind of hands-on, that was something like really recognizing businesses that are younger, or startups or in their in their early stages, and pick out the good ones and then have them grow here.
Yeah.
Because that's what we really want, right? We really want to have businesses grow here, and we'll never be a Silicon Valley, but we can have some movement in that direction, right? And having businesses grow here is huge.
And younger companies typically that are on the growth track, they're not as capitalized as well. The free rent actually comes in really handy.
Oh, yeah.
And the growth companies are often looking for a new location to grow their venture. Let's talk about the contest. You're giving away $100,000. I think first prize is $50,000.
Correct.
Second prize is $30,000. And then third prize is $20,000. But one of the, which is valuable, that's got real value, and you know, no matter where you're at in Sacramento, there's an Ethan Conrad property that you could move into. But I think what is also so valuable about what you're doing is you're bringing together the entrepreneurial community. Your judges are the who's who of venture capital and private equity here in Sacramento.
Correct.
Talk to us about your judges.
So, the most amazing thing I think that has come out of this is $100,000 in free rent is huge, right? And actually, last year we had the finalists. We had another two finalists because we went down to five finalists. We actually gave them an additional $10,000 in free rent each because they were finalists. They were there. They did a good job. We didn't want to give them nothing. But back to the judges and so forth. I think what you and I were talking earlier, what's huge is that this is great exposure for the best venture capitalists in Sacramento. They're the judges.
Yeah.
And the fact that guys got funded out of, being the investors and the VC guys being aware of it and that exposure. And then that, their business is not only winning some free rent that they can use that's significant, but actually their company's taking off.
I mean, you bet. I mean, some of my buddies here are talking about Kurt Rocca, DCA Capital, one of the most genuine guys I know, but he also happens to be a private equity guy. And Roger Akers, another great guy, venture capitalist. These guys, among other judges, are really good people for us entrepreneurs to know. And thinking about last year's finalists specifically, I'm invested, I think, in one or two of these guys. I mean, you have Trifecta Nutrition, right? Greg Conley. He got funded after pitching in your contest. Sun Systems Technologies funded after pitching. So it really is a great place to get yourself noticed, I guess. And it's always a good idea to get yourself hanging around the people who are moving and shaking right here in Sacramento. So thinking about that, you get a rent credit. Do you have to use it right now? Or can you, some guys might not be ready to move today, but they might be ready to move, I don't know, in a year and a half when their lease expires. You can use it back, you can backdate that rent credit, right?
Correct. No expiration date.
Expiration date.
See, we recognize that. I mean, we recognize some people can use it immediately, right? But most people are, they have a lease or they've got some obligation or they may need a small amount of square footage now, really need it, in a year or two. So we recognize that they may use a little of it now, may use all of it, in 6 months or a year.
So no matter where you're at, you could be at Rockland, Roseville, Elk Grove, Folsom, the 50 corridor. I mean, you guys have properties that you can get like office space for a couple hundred bucks a month. You got stuff that's near Sac State. And so they're kind of everywhere around Sacramento. It's so cool because it fits almost every business's need, especially us small business guys that are trying to grow. Any closing thoughts? Anything we didn't cover on this front?
No, I'd just say if I was, at a business that was a startup business, it was a younger business, I would definitely enroll in this, not only for the free rent, but the exposure. It's just huge. I mean, in terms of both of those attributes, but getting to know people that are in the business of venture capital and can help people like you that really want to help entrepreneurs grow. I mean, that's huge.
If you want to be involved or you know somebody that has a business that is growing, tell them about the Ethan Conrad, but also tell them about this contest because you know what? This can be game-changing as we've seen in the past. Thanks, Ethan, for coming by and showing up and for everything that you're doing right here in Sacramento. You know, next week we're going to have a great show. We got my buddies Murad Saidi and Derek Chase of Sun System Technology joining me. Along with them will be Rob McVicker. He is the man behind Hub International. And you know, some people want more Mark Haney. You may not want more Mark Haney. But you know what? If you do, I got to invite you to a special event called Entrepreneurs Unleashed, right? I will be helping share the secrets of how to build your business. So many times we get stuck at a certain point in our business and we just can't get it going. Well, I have some of the answers to get yourself unstuck. It happens this September 28th, 5 to 7:30 here at my office in Rockland. Again, Entrepreneurs Unleashed. Come meet me. Come talk to me. Let's spend some time together. I want to help you grow your business. Also, you want a little more Mark Haney, come see me at 1 Million Cups. We're going to be hosting that this week here at our office. It starts at 9 o'clock in the morning. It's Wednesday the 27th. Come learn about how to grow your business at those earlier stages. Show up, say hi to me, and I hope to see you there. And just a little special shout out to Five Star Bank. My buddies over there have renewed their sponsorship with the Haney Biz Project, and we really appreciate their support and the support that they give to the entrepreneurs here in our community. And a little congrats to Kurt Rocca of DCA Capital. He and the entrepreneurial group that he put him around himself for the Capital Cup in the golf tournament, they raised over $1 million, and it all goes to charity. When we return, I will share my closing thoughts and takeaways about the entrepreneurial revolution, and Jack and I will be talking about what it takes to break out here in Sacramento. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, courtesy of Ethan Conrad Properties and the financial advisors, Stifel Financial. This is the Haney Biz Project.
Welcome back for Mark's takeaways from today's Haney Biz Project.
Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of Silver's HR, Mark Haney. And I'm back here with Jack Crawford. And today we've been talking about the life cycle of a startup and the life cycle of a business as it begins to grow. We've had John Koss telling his story. Any takeaways from today, Jack?
No, I thought the guts and persistence to start a company and then sort of endure it through with his own time and capital, and some of those key decision making points where he's able to, you know, sort of bring in the right team, get the right early customers, and then sort of gut it out till the timing was right. You know, you see a lot of entrepreneurs maybe give up a little bit too early. You were talking about, you know, earlier, you know, the persistence and patience and sort of inspiration required to sort of gut it out when things get tough. And he's, I think, a good example of someone that sort of persevered through those tough times.
Great example. And, you know, you and I were talking during the break about, we're up here in Mark Tank here at my office here in the studio. And on the wall behind me is something that says, yes, if ... which is kind of a personal mantra. Anything is possible if we do enough of the little things. And you were saying that you have something very similar to that in your office. You're a yes and guy.
I'm a yes and guy.
How did that happen?
I like the idea of when you're brainstorming as opposed to coming up with all the reasons why something won't work. If you put yourself in the mode of yes and, just trying to figure out a way to piggyback on someone else's idea, someone else's passion, it sort of takes it to the next level. And I think instead of incremental nudges forward, you see quantum leap activities.
The entrepreneurial ecosystem here in Sacramento, when I think of that it is, I didn't know what an entrepreneurial ecosystem was until I met you, Jack Cropper. So you are the man behind the entrepreneurial ecosystem in Sacramento in many ways. What do you think about the timing of the opportunity right now in Sacramento?
Well, first off, I think I'm playing a small support role for a group of entrepreneurs that are really leading the charge in this innovation economy. So I appreciate your comments, but what's happening is the entrepreneurs are sort of rising up, and I think they're recognizing this is a really cool place to start a business. They really like the lifestyle. They like the talent that they're supported by. And I think they see the culture changing because of a variety of activities, including your show, Mark. So I had an opportunity as part of the Kauffman Fellows program to go around the world and look at ecosystems. We went to New York. We went to Austin. We spent a lot of time in Silicon Valley. We even went to Shanghai and Singapore. And so I saw patterns of successful innovation economies. And I saw things happening in sort of those stages of ignite, accelerate, and capitalize. And here in the Sacramento area, you have things like 1 million cups, which has been hosted at our office.
Oh, you know what? I've been calling it 1 billion cups. You guys are only at a million?
We're only at a million.
Oh, okay.
Maybe
Sorry.
Someday. That's aspirational. So almost 100 companies have presented at our office over the last year. There's meetups that are happening in Midtown, Davis, Folsom, Rockland, Roseville. I'd say there's organizations that are doing really interesting things. I mean, if you look at what Deshant Pathak and Ryan Sharp are doing with the Venture Catalyst Group at UC Davis, if you look at Lewis Stewart and Ash Raghani at the city of Sacramento with that Innovation and Growth Fund, there's a variety of accelerators. The media is jumping on board, not just radio, but print, you know, Comstocks and the Business Journal, and what they're doing at the SACB to cover sort of the dynamic activities within sort of technology and entrepreneurship. A lot of interesting things happening and sort of accelerators popping up. Brandon Weber and Monique Brown with the IO Labs and Hacker Lab helping with prototyping. This infrastructure is being created here in Sacramento, and the climate is changing. And so it's a time to be excited and inspired here in Sacramento.
It is. And I think, again, I think it goes back so much to what you're doing, helping other entrepreneurs. Entrepreneurs helping entrepreneurs through funding, in your case, and mentorship related to the early stage companies. And it makes me think back to where I was before I met you, Jack. I had just sold my business, my baby. We had some security companies, and we decided to exit. And I'm sitting there for the first time in my life after helping with, we merged with another company. And after the integration, I decided to not stay on anymore. And for the first time in my life, I was basically unemployed. And what am I going to do? And I thought, you know what? I wrote a mission statement. And a lot of people write a mission statement, and it's their mission statement doesn't mean much. It's kind of like wetting your pants to a lot of people. You know, it feels nice and warm, but it really doesn't do anything. But for me, my mission statement meant so much, and it means so much to me. But I think after meeting you, my mission statement is all around helping create opportunity for my family, my friends, and my community. And as they succeed, I succeed. And I really didn't know what I was going to do with that. So I started some companies and partnering with some friends and growing and helping businesses here or there. And then I met you, and you told me about the entrepreneurial ecosystem. And I saw what you were doing with your program. And I thought to myself, what can I do?
Yeah.
And so I've begun to start more businesses. And now, I guess I just realized the other day, you know, you hear the term accelerator or incubator and, you know, or acceleration fund. And I guess that's what I've built, or I'm in the process of building at this stage. I'm investing into small companies, helping them to grow in my way, helping them to get off the ground. Hopefully we'll get, I've got a few that are in the process of scaling a little bit right now. So it's fun for me to do that. And I think so many of us, we think about, you know, what do we want to do? And you don't get any better satisfaction than helping people. And
I see you doing that from you. I don't know that I deserve any credit for what you're doing, Mark. I mean, I think that Mark Haney 2.0 is out there empowering people in a variety of ways, right? Wow. I mean, that's what you've done with the next stage of your professional career. You had this entrepreneurial success. You did really well. And now you've, in effect, invented sort of the next stage of your professional career. And I see you empowering people, including me, in your network. You're doing it in the philanthropic arena. You're doing it in the entrepreneurial arena. You're doing it in the media space. You're really doing some interesting things, and I appreciate it. I think the end result is going to end is going to be more interesting entrepreneurial entrepreneurs and entrepreneurial based companies in Sacramento. And so you have in this ecosystem, you have more companies being started, more companies being grown, and then you have groups like the Greater Sacramento group led by Barry Broom recruiting additional companies in here. Who knows? Maybe we end up with Amazon in our backyard.
I call it the power of with. With Jack Crawford, with John Koss kind of ideas, with the Barry Brooms, with all of the Sacramento ecosystem coming together, anything is possible. Yes, if we do enough of these things in coming together, anything is possible. And I give credit where credit is due, and I want to give you credit, and I want to give John Koss credit as well. So I would suggest that we give a Sacramento salute to the leaders of Hometown Patriotism, you two, and of course, Ethan Conrad and his generosity, and to all those fighting the good fight for our freedom, our security, and our way of life, to the 13 stripes and the 50 stars, and to the one big American venture always worth fighting for, yours. Never above you, never below you, always by your side.